Hello, and welcome to a roundtable discussion on the Comic Book Page Podcast. My name is John Mayer.
And I'm Bob Retall. In this episode, we're joined by other comics fans for some lively conversation on a topic we hope you'll find interesting. Okay, in this episode, we're going to be talking about the Long Beach Comic Expo, which was a one-day follow-on to the Long Beach Comic-Con that happened last year in Long Beach, California. This one happened on Saturday, February 20th, 2010. And joining me is Michael Hammersky. Thanks for joining me, Michael.
Hi, Bob.
And Michael runs Make It So Marketing and also has a blog at comicbookcollectorsblog.com. And you'll be able to find links to those in the show notes for this episode. But I've been a Facebook friend with Michael for a while and ran into him there at the show, so I thought it would be good to have him join me and we can bounce off some reminiscences with each other about the Long Beach Expo that happened this last Saturday.
I appreciate that, Bob.
Yeah, and, you know, I really enjoyed it, Michael. I don't know about you, but, you know, it was a smaller show, but there was a decent number of people there, and I thought the fact that it wasn't so totally crowded like San Diego tends to be, it gave relatively good access to the creators, and, boy, they had some really big-name creators there, as well as some very talented newcomers.
I would agree with you on that. We had a very intimate conversation with Bernie Wrightson, Richard Starkey, Mike Magdala, and his family. It was really great to see these people up close for a few extra minutes that you wouldn't at a larger show.
Yeah, you know, a lot of time at a larger show when, you know, you have someone like Mike Magnola or Steve Niles or Stan Sakai or some of these guys, you know, they're at a table and there's a line that develops, you kind of feel bad, you know, spending too much time talking to them. But, you know, at certain times during the day when I walked by, they'd have three or four people lined up. But, you know, a lot of other times, you know, there's only maybe one other person or maybe there wasn't anybody and you could just, you know, step up and like you said, have a longer conversation with them, which I thought was really nice. You know, I had a long conversation with Dan Brereton when he was signing a couple of books for me, and he did some nice sketches in them as well. And then a little later, I stopped by, and somebody else was there, and just talking about different books and movies, you know, that we liked and things like that. And it was just really fun to be able to have that kind of a conversation with a creator that you're a fan of.
Well, and also there's a few other people that were there that weren't being credited as being there that day, including Tony DeZuniga, who was in the back. And I was very pleased and surprised to see him there. So that was an added plus for me.
Yeah, I got a really nice, did I show you that Shanna sketch that I got from Tony?
Yes, that's right.
So, yeah, he's back there, and he's getting on in years, but he's, you know, he was there, and he was, you know, very engaging to talk to. You know, and you know, Tony DeZuniga, I loved his art back when I was reading Savage Sword of Conan back in the day. You know, he and Ernie Chan and Alfredo Alcala and John Buscema, you know, a lot of these guys, you know, they did that wonderful art that reproduced so nicely in a black and white magazine like that.
Right. The black and whites, those magazines, they filled a niche back in those early to mid-70s. I enjoyed reading those.
So, you know, I know you mentioned Richard Starkings, and I spent some time talking to Richard also. He's a really nice guy, and I love his Elephant Men series. I've talked about it on the show before, and yeah, he was telling me something actually kind of cool that I've been getting the hardcovers, and the first two volumes didn't come out with dust jackets, and with the third volume that's going to be coming out, they're going to come out with a dust jacket. But he's going to be making dust jackets for the first two that he'll be selling at cons. So when I see him up at WonderCon, I'm going to make sure I pick up those dust jackets from him.
Yeah, I blogged about Richard being at the 3-day Long Beach Comic Con back in October. and he was very pleased with the review that I did, and showed me a couple new of his publications that are coming out right now. So that was fun, you know, seeing somebody again after doing a review of one of their works.
Yeah, he's a really nice guy, and Mike Mignola is another one that, you know, he goes out of his way to hit a lot of these local shows. I mean, he's always at San Diego. Was Mike at the Long Beach show back last year?
No, I did not see them there. Now, Christine is his business manager, and I'm Facebook friends with both of them. But Mike prefers not to do any kind of networking using his Facebook account. So what I did was, matter of fact, I believe it was this morning, I included a picture of them with their daughter in my blog, and Christine was very appreciative of that, just like I was appreciative of having some one-on-one time with them without a big crowd around them. So, again, the intimate setting at the smaller expo was very benefiting to anybody that would have been a fan of Mike's.
Yeah, it was a lot, very much easier. I know I've seen him before at, like, the Phoenix Comic Con, which is also a smaller show, and I've seen him at San Diego, too, but the access in San Diego is way less, because whenever he's at his table in San Diego, there was generally a pretty good-sized line to get to him, because, I mean, you know, Hellboy is a very popular property. It's had a couple of movies. It's got the animated features. You know, there's a lot of people know who Mike Mignola are. A lot of people are fans, and that's a good thing. But when you're at something with a lot of people, like one of the bigger shows, a lot of those people are going to want to see him.
Right.
And, you know, you're at the smaller show, it's pretty easy to step up and talk to him a little bit.
Right. Well, the show opened at 10, and was supposed to run to 7. We were there till 6:15. For the most part, we totally enjoyed the show. Unfortunately, about 5:30 in the evening, some of the tables and booths started closing. Now, we left at 6:15. We had put in a full day there, didn't have any lunch, because we were pretty excited seeing all these different creators that I've known about for years, plus a new one. And I had others come up to me and introduce themselves that did not have a table or exhibit. So it was very well attended by fans, as well as other professionals and others attempting to get into the field.
I think the 7 o'clock's just, you know, people were getting tired, you know. I left around 6:30 myself, and it's just, you know, being there the whole day, you could see that some people were starting to drag, and maybe somewhat as maybe some of the dealers. Some of the dealers stayed. You know, I was buying stuff up to the end. I got some good deals near the end of the day on stuff, too, so.
Well, you know, talking about good deals, Terry's Comics, I mean, he had several tables full of dollar comics, which I know a lot of people are looking at. And as the fact of the matter was, it was starting to wind down a little bit, so we were looking at the dollar boxes. But at the same time, I was very pleased to see Harley Yee there. When I was attempting to finish my own personal collection, Harley's where I went to get the hard-to-find issues. So it was great to see dollar boxes as well as a really good seller such as Harley Yee being represented there.
Yeah, I would say that, you know, you can get some good deals near the end of the day, but there were a lot of people that had, you know, those dollar comics and half price or even $5 trades, and those guys, you want to hit them right early in the morning. You know, when I was walking around right at first when it started up, there were quite a few dealers that had relatively cheap trade paperbacks and even some hardcovers. I mean, a lot, unfortunately for me, it's like pretty much everything were ones that I already had, but, you know, they had, you know, hardcovers of, you know, a lot of the Ultimate Spider-Man and Ultimate Fantastic Four and X-Men and, you know, other Marvel hardcovers that sell for like $29.99 and stuff for like $5 to $10 a piece. Really good deals on that stuff. And, you know, lots of dollar comics. I actually picked up, I don't know how familiar you are with, like, Bowen statues.
Statues, right. Mm-hmm.
I picked up a Nick Fury statue, a Bowen statue, for $40.
That sounds like a heck of a buy.
That's how much you'd pay for a bust. This is a full-size statue that probably originally sold for like $150 or something. I just couldn't pass it up. I'm like, wow, that's a really good deal. So there were some dealers there that had some really good stuff going on. And there's a dealer there, I know Harley, there's another dealer named Ed Robertson, who also sells the Silver Age stuff. And near the end of the day, he was having 25% off. And I picked up a decent-sized stack of some older comics. I got like an Aquaman number 7. I got a Batman number 208, Journey into Mystery 103, which is the first appearance of the Enchantress, Strange Tales 120, which is the first time the Human Torch and the Iceman met, Silver Age. Some pretty decent older books. And, he's under guide in the first place, and he was giving 25% off, rather, on top of that. So I got some pretty good deals as I was getting ready to walk out the door.
Well, that is good. The thing of it is that we spent most of our time looking at the two different sections for Artist Alley, and then I was a little surprised to see up against the back wall as you walked into the front door that there was additional creators back there. So for the most part, we hit the Artist Alley, like we said earlier in this podcast, that there's a lot of established pros there. But there's also others like... There was a collective. I like seeing these folks. They're called the Antidote Trust. And Dale Wilson, Robert Roach, Carl Dancy, and Richard Hamilton were four of the members of this trust that were there promoting their own comic book miniseries. I really like Robert Roach's series. He's done one called The Roach. It's not autobiographical. And he's also done one with Mentiu. So those four folks, they totally have their act together, and when they show up at an expo or a Comic-Con, they share all the expenses by being in a booth together. So it makes kind of sense for them.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of the, I guess, how do I want to say it? It's not I don't mean this disrespectfully, but, you have some of the big-name creators, right? So, again, you have your Mike Mignola and Steve Niles, and I would still, even though he's a classic guy, I would consider Tony DeZuniga or Stan Sakai. Those guys are, they had Wills Portacio was there, Dustin Nguyen, lots of these guys. But then they had some of these guys that haven't hit the big time yet, but they're still good, solid creators, and they're just putting out some nice books. So I spent some time talking to, there's a guy named Rasan Ekadal. He's done some work for Avatar, and he's actually just did the art on issue 4 of the Crazies that came out from Top Cow. And he's got a very clean art style, and he was sitting near Joshua Fialkov, who did a book called Elk's Run, and he's done some other stuff recently, also some more self-published stuff, and he's the one who wrote that Crazies number 4 that Rasan did the art on. And really nice guys to talk to. I saw a guy named Tony Fleesis, who's also, he has a kind of self-published comic that he did that's kind of about his life, called In My Lifetime, strangely enough. That, I mean, it was a really fun comic that I read, and I actually laughed out loud a couple of times while I was reading the thing. It was just really nicely done. And had a guy named Steve Wyatt. He has a booth, Steve Wyatt Supercon, and he's got some self-published comics that I picked up. And he's actually Dan Brereton's buddy, and Dan did covers for his comics for him. Those are some nice ones. And then we also had folks like Tim Bradstreet was there with his art book, and both Tone Rodriguez and Dan Wickline were there. Now, Tone's done a lot of nice art in his day, but he's going to be doing the upcoming Shadowhawk relaunch that's coming out from Image, and Dan Wickline, who's done a lot of work for Zenoscope, he's going to be writing the Shadowhawk relaunch with Tone on the art. So they were both there. DC artist Norm Ratmond was there?
Well, no. Tone, whenever I see him at other shows, he's always so busy, he doesn't have a chance to look up. And this time I was able to get him to look up, to have a snapshot. We talked a little bit. But he was very busy sketching away. And quite often, established professionals like Tone are so busy sketching that they forget that there's people that would be new to their work. So, you know, it's always good to market yourself, even if you're really booked up for a show. Tone does great work. I've even blogged about him before. I think he has a good following. Because every time I see him, he's just like, look for the whole day, sketching.
Well, he's popular, and, you know, I guess he's kind of known for doing some really nice con sketches. I've gotten con sketches off him before, and his sketch list does fill up, and, you know, people go to him for sketches. You know, it's the same kind of thing, like Chris Moreno was there, and Chris has done some, you know, lighter stuff. I think he did a book called Sidekick, and he does a lot of nice con sketches, too. He's typically very busy doing that kind of stuff. Norm Ratmond, I saw sketching there.
Right. Well, you know, talking about Chris, I wasn't totally familiar with all his work, because every time I've seen him, he's also like Tone, where he's so busy, you know, with his head down sketching, you just don't see what else that he has. So I saw another publisher, Christian Baranek, who basically, you know, all the books on his table kept saying Chris Moreno, and I'm going, man, is that the same guy? He's like, yeah. So I started thumbing through and realizing that Chris has had a lot of work published recently.
Yeah, you know, and it's kind of funny because a lot of these guys who they might not be a household name, at least in, you know, comic fan households anyway, but, you know, when you actually see them at the con and you start looking at the books that they have for sale on their table that are generally books that they've worked on, you're like, I've seen that book. I like that book. That was a cool book. And, you know, it's like, okay, you did that. And you start making that connection. And as you go to these shows, more and more you start recognizing these guys. And what I find is kind of fun, especially more so since I've been going to the smaller shows in addition to San Diego, is since you have a chance to sit, you know, not sit really, but, you know, you stand at the person's table and you have that conversation with them and, you know, talk a little bit about it, and they maybe get to know you, that after a show or two, they recognize you, and, you know, you can have that dialogue back and forth, and you start following their work. So that's kind of fun too. You get like kind of a personal connection to the creators. And again, that's much easier to do at a show like Long Beach.
Right. Well, you know, I'm also finding by doing social networking, basically through Facebook, that I'm befriending a lot of folks that are creators or just breaking in. And then when I see that I'm at a show, I get introduced to other people. It's like Andy Ewington, the 45, the comics, com.x sign-in that he did down at San Diego Comic-Con. They had a booth here at the Long Beach Expo, and there was a couple artists that were there that were basically signing the book. There was a lot of people that you wouldn't place them in being in the industry itself. It's like outlaw territory. I mean, I saw that book on so many different tables there that it's like, you know, who isn't in that book that didn't contribute to it? I mean, there's writers, there's artists. So it's a book that I've kind of put on my, I got to get it next time, because the copy I was looking at was so, to a customer came and says, do you have a copy of it? And Christian Baranek said, yeah, here's my last copy. That's a good way of getting your work known out there, is by being in a compilation with a bunch of other known artists and writers.
Yeah, that's actually, you remind me, because I did talk to the guys at the com.x booth, because we featured that 45 when it was solicited in previews a while back. It was more than 2 months ago, but it's not. It's actually coming out in another week or two.
Right.
So I actually have it on order, so I'll be getting it from my comic supplier. I get my books mail order through DCBS, so I should be getting it, so I didn't have to worry about picking one up at the show, but I did get to flip through the copy And it's a really cool idea. That I was drawn to it when I first saw it in previews because it's got the 45 different writers and artists collaborating on it. Just seemed like an interesting idea. You know, some of these jam ones, I mean, some of those come off better than others. It looked pretty cool seeing the one that they had on the table, though.
Yeah, it was chock full of information, text, and pictures. And I do know that Forbidden Planet back in the UK had a sign-in back on Saturday, January 23rd. So they got it first, and now the USA is getting it. So it looked very sharp. I've seen a review copy of it, but the one that you saw and I saw at the Long Beach Expo, it's a very beautiful book when you physically can hold it in your hand. I would agree with you.
So, I mean, the Expo, you know, the one thing, I mean, it's a one-day show. The one thing that they didn't have that, you know, you have at some of the longer cons are the panels, you know. So there weren't any panel topics or anything like that going on, which a lot of times I like, you know, being able to take a break and go do a panel. But you know, they had those at the three-day con, and I think that since this was only one day, they kind of felt that, you know, they didn't really need that. And I think to some extent that was probably true because, you know, by the time you looked at all the different booths and you had the conversations with all the different people, you know, the day's pretty much gone at that point. But I think that, you know, maybe for some people who don't kind of jump into it as much, it's maybe not as full of a day that it would be for you or I there, you know, because we probably try to take the time to, you know, stop and talk to almost every one of the artists that were in the relatively extensive artist alley that they had there.
Yeah, because the artist alley was broken up into those two different sections with dealer tables in between. So I like the way they split it up, and I told it to Martha Donato, who is one of the persons that put on the show, as well as Mike Scicliano. Mike was all over the place making sure that everybody was having a good time and troubleshooting if there was anything going on that needed to be addressed. So for the one-day show, I thought it was pretty darn good. It was smaller than I thought it might be, but after seeing the three-day con there, yeah, it would look smaller, but, you know, it was chock full of tables for us to look at, you know, people to see, you know, and there was actually, and the nice thing was there was actually people there dressed in costume again, and they weren't cosplay people. They were actually attendees that wanted to dress up, so I got some good photos with them. My wife, she's always pointing out Wonder Woman to me, so, oh, there's Wonder Woman, and, you know. So that's always fun. I always like getting my pictures taken with those.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that because, I mean, there were some really good costumes there. That guy who was dressed as Superman.
Yes.
He was a really good Superman, and there was a pretty good Captain America costume, and, you know, just various people that were, you know, not like your typical, you know, kind of anime people. Well, of course, you had your 501st Legion had a table there, so you had a bunch of stormtroopers milling around too at various points in the day.
Yeah, but I think they attract their own crowd too. So
yeah.
that was kind of nice to see it. Yeah, I even took my wife was a photographer this time, and she took a lot of. We got like 165 different photos of all the different tables, the characters, the creators. So for somebody who's really into it. This con, one day or not, it was a good buy for $10. That's what I thought.
Yeah, and I encourage any of the listeners, because I tend to not take a lot of pictures when I'm at these shows. I bring my camera, but, you know, I just don't pull it out and take a lot of pictures. I think I took one picture of me with Tony DeZuniga when I bought that Shanna sketch from him. That was the only picture I took.
Yeah, I would too. Just to have that to go along with it.
Yeah,
to go along with the picture. I would have done the same.
But I think, you know, what I'm trying to say is, you know, follow the link on the show notes and go over to Michael's site there. You'll have a section that people will be able to find with the photos from the con.
Right. What I've done, my blog has a main feature and then a featurette section, And what I'm doing is I'm running photos of the attendees in costume. I'm also running photos of the longtime professionals, and then giving some sort of play for people that are there for like maybe the first time or just trying to break into the industry.
That's cool. Yeah, that, you know, I'll point, you know, I like I said, you know, any listener, go and check out Michael's blog to see those pictures, because, you know, I kind of do the audio thing, so taking the pictures is not like the forefront of my mind. What I actually did do instead was I made a lot of connections with people to end up doing interviews with them for, you know, various previews, interview episodes that we'll have coming up. And actually, I'll be interviewing Tone and Dan Wickline along with John Mayo next week, and it'll be in the March previews episode. And I should have an interview with Steve Niles about his new book, The Mystery Society, in there as well. And, you know, just, you know, hitting various connections with people and getting contact info so I can do interviews for the show down the line. That was a little more on my mind than taking the pictures. But, you know, certainly really good ability to make connections like that with people. And even as a fan, if you're not doing a show or have a blog or anything like that, I think it's fun just to go up to a creator and shake their hand and tell them how much you've enjoyed their work and how they've maybe, you know, touched your life or something like that. I think that creators in general are very appreciative when a fan shows that kind of connection and appreciation for their work.
Well, you know, while I'm talking about fans appreciating people, I'm not for sure if I'm pronouncing Todd's last name correctly, but Todd Nuck, N-A-U-C-K?
Yeah, Nuck, yeah, Todd Nuck or Nuck, yeah.
Okay. His comic book, his variant edition of Superheroes, was basically being featured that weekend on Extreme Makeover, the home edition. And, I mean, from 10 o'clock till, like, 6 o'clock, you just couldn't get up to this guy. I finally was able to talk to him as he was coming back from a late break to get something to eat, he and his wife. And it was really nice talking with these people to see why there was such a buzz. And it was pretty cool seeing the TV show. Of course, there was Marvel Superheroes all over the kids' bedroom. And then the place of honor was the front cover that Todd had illustrated. So that's why there was such a buzz at his. And I was trying to figure out, okay, why is this booth the busiest one in the whole expo? And that's when I found out it was going to be on TV the following Sunday night.
Okay, well, I'm glad you said that, because I ended up not stopping by and seeing Todd because it was so crowded there in general. But I've seen him a number of times before at cons. He used to do Young Justice over at DC with Peter David, and I talked to him back, oh boy, it must have been 10 years ago now. So I remember my son was with me, and he was a little kid then, and he's like in college now. So, so did you get any other cool meetings or any nifty things? Did you actually fill in any holes from your collection with Harley?
Actually, no. What I was there for basically was to continue networking. And the funny thing is that, you know, I was already talking about Facebook. But on YouTube, there's already been several videos that have been posted from the expo. So what I'm seeing is that this, even smaller shows like this one was, they get so much more exposure. And then there was also these three young people that are going to CS Fullerton that were doing a radio show. And they came up to me, recognized me from a vlog, and proceeded to tell me about how they were doing a radio show. So I thought that was kind of cool. It was, you know, for college credit, I believe. So I thought that was an interesting way of promoting the industry, along with the YouTube videos, the costume characters. And then, you know, the other thing, too, is I'm noticing there's a lot of crossovers more and more at each con that I go to, where you see all these folks that were in film that are crossing over into comics and graphic novels, because so many of the people in graphic novels and comics have gone over to the film industry to write. So I'm seeing a lot of crossovers back and forth.
I'll point out one other thing, and you can. I don't think you got to experience this because you said you were there from 10 a.m. to 6:15, and you didn't even stop for lunch. But the Long Beach Convention Center's in a beautiful location, right by Long Beach Harbor, and there's a lot of restaurants in a very short walking distance from there. I actually walked across the street. Somebody I knew, and we went to Islands, just a hamburger place across the way, and we had a nice lunch. So you didn't need to, you know, eat right there in the convention center, but there's a California Pizza Kitchen, there's a Chili's, there's a P.F. Chang's, there's a, you know, a couple of blocks away, there's a Bubba Gump Shrimp. There's probably in total maybe about 15 or 20 different restaurants within a short walk, and it's also just a beautiful location there by the ocean.
Right. I did that during the three-day con, you know, in the evening, just walk across the street, still have your vehicle parked at the convention center, and just walk across the street, and there's all those restaurants you just named off. So, yeah, I mean, it would be definitely something to add on to your calendar for the upcoming end of October, I believe it is, the three-day Long Beach Comic-Con again. This one-day expo was really nice for the one day. It's a nice fill-in between October 2009 and then the upcoming one at the end of October. So it was really nice, and it's good to see this in the Long Beach area because you don't have to drive all the way into downtown LA. People from North County, San Diego, like myself, could drive up there, other parts of Orange County and LA. It's a good central meeting area. And like you say, Long Beach basically is really nice, that redeveloped area with the restaurants, convention center. It was a nice place to spend, you know, spend the day.
Yeah, and I talked to several people who had come down from the San Fernando Valley to the show, which, you know, is kind of like about as far as you're at in San Diego, but in the other direction. So I would encourage, you know, anyone who's in the greater Los Angeles area from, you know, the Valley or even Ventura all the way down to San Diego, if you've got the opportunity in the end of October, it's Halloween weekend. I think it's the 29th, 30th, and 31st. Halloween's on the Sunday. So, you know, there's going to be some costumes going on at the con next time. Believe you me, you know, that, you know, it's going to actually, the Sunday is Halloween. They'd be missing a bet if they don't have some, like, formal costume thing going on Halloween there.
Or even a zombie walk.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I hadn't put that together yet. So thank you for telling me about the fact that it's the Halloween weekend. But yeah, zombie walks are so much, you know, so popular now. They'd probably be missing the boat if they didn't have one. So that's something to bring up to them also.
Yeah. You know, that's, you know, again, anyone who's in the Southern California area or even someone who, you know, wants to fly in, you could have a much worse weekend getaway than coming out to Long Beach for this con. Anyway, I think that about does it for me. Do you have anything else you want to cover?
No, I think we've covered everything there. You know, we're talking about the industry trend, the crossover, some other industries. I mean, they had, you know, established pros. They got newcomers there. And, you know, for a one-day show, it took us from 10 to 6:15 to see it all. And we still didn't get to see all the dealers you were talking about that had some, you know, probably some really good gems there that I would have bought also.
They did have some great deals at a lot of the comic vendors there, and there was a decent number of comic vendors there for the size of the show. There were probably, I would say, at least 10 people selling older comics and probably another 5 to 10 that are selling the new stuff.
Yes, I would definitely agree with you there. I mean, I recognize several established LA area metro dealers there. And Graffiti Designs is even there with a booth with their T-shirts and stuff. So, I mean, for somebody who was just kind of like falling into it also by chance, it was a good introduction. So I think it was very good for a one-day show, and it's a good fill-in between last year's three-day show and the upcoming one this year. So I think they did a darn good job.
I think it was a great idea on their part because, you know, just nice, quick, keeps it in people's mind, you know, about halfway between when the three-day show is. And I hope they do it again next year.
I do too.
Okay, well, thank you for joining me. And I'll catch you on the flip side, Michael.
Okay, thanks, Bob.
The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.